Well, you know what I think. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to deny that.
I do want everyone to feel comfortable. That's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
Please do not go religious.
Somebody's going to hell over there.
He better not.
Even the devil will speak the truth for his own purposes.
This is war.
Accept it.
Back to Jerusalem podcast.
Yeah, I'm back and I'm armed with righteousness.
With your host, Eugene Bach.
He just seems like he's got it all figured out.
He's a righteous dude.
Yep.
Hello and welcome to another Back to Jerusalem podcast. I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, and I'm coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the borders of Dubai this time. You know, I just came back from Vietnam. We had our business as mission meeting in Vietnam. I've mentioned it now a couple of times in the last few podcasts. But I just wanted to say during this time, I was also doing something that we call chasing legacy. I've talked about it before. We've done some filming on it. It's kind of the follow-up from our Chasing Revival series. By the way, Chasing Revival, really very cool. When we were in Vietnam at the Business as Mission meeting, one of the guys in the Vietnam Business as Mission meeting came out and said, "Hey, I just saw your Chasing Revival in Vietnamese." It's like, what? This is how amazing God is. Like, I did not know that somebody took the time, effort, put their energy, their finances into doing the Back to Jerusalem Chasing Revival series and dubbed it into Vietnamese for the Vietnamese crowd. Now, all of them had not been completed yet. They'd already done, I think, like 4 or 5 episodes. So I put it up during the business's mission meeting so we could watch it, but still very cool. Very, very cool. It's amazing what can take place when you're not really worried about copyrights so much. We've had a couple of people like Right Now Media, for instance. I don't know how many people are listening to this podcast that use Right Now Media. Right Now Media is very well known. It's probably one of the biggest Bible study platforms in the world. Some people have individual accounts, but most people actually have access to Right Now Media through their church account. So many churches have an account with Right Now Media where the people in their congregation can have access to different Bible studies that are available there for free. Now, Right Now Media gives us a certain amount of money to use it every 5 years. The contract just came up this year and they renewed it. But one of the stipulations that we had when we connected with Right Now Media was that we will do this with Right Now Media if we can still retain the rights to sell it as well as make it available for free, which they agreed to. Right Now Media, working with Right Now Media is an absolute joy, pleasure. We've been working together with them a couple of years, only with this one project, but even just this one project and the exposure with that, they've just been so great. Really, really loved it. But then when we find out about somebody else taking it and doing a dub on it, we don't know anything about the ministry that actually is doing that, but we're very, very happy that they decided to use those materials. And we also know that there have been channels in Eastern Europe that have also bought the rights to put this Bible study on their channel in Western Europe. Eastern Europe. I don't remember the nations or the countries. There was a couple of nations that was done through trying to remember. My good friend Donald Liao, he actually has an organization, a filming company, and he was the one that was in charge of selling the rights to these Eastern European channels. Anyway, the point is, we just wanted to get the word out there. We've been super, super excited about other people using it, making use of it, and finding a benefit in it. But on the follow-up of Chasing Revival, which is, if you haven't heard of Chasing Revival, if you haven't seen it, you can go to our website. There we have Chasing Revival for sale. It's a 9-part video series as well as a 61-day Bible study series that you can go through on your own or with a group. And there's also a workbook that connects the video and the book together. And the videos have actually just continued to grow over time. And the reach of them have continued to grow. We haven't been so good at advertising. We're actually not that good at marketing. But when people have gotten their hands on it, it's continued to grow in popularity outside of our marketing or advertising. So we're very happy about that. But Chasing Revival follows the movement of revival starting in Acts chapter 1 and the history of the growing of the church. And so we took several years following the history of the church in the book of Acts, as well as the first century church, second century church, third century church, and we followed it from the Mount of Olives, which is where we're at in Acts chapter 1, and we followed that all the way across Israel, which is what happens from Acts 1 to 10, following in the footsteps of Peter, and then we made the transition from Peter to Paul throughout the rest of the book of Acts, from 10 onwards, and then we arrive at the very first century leaders that were directly in contact with the disciples and took over leadership after the death of the disciples. So we followed it from the Mount of Olives down into Jerusalem to the western edge of Israel, then into Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, then into Europe, Africa, around to the Americas, and now into Asia, and then we talk about the final frontier of missions between Asia and Jerusalem. So we start in Jerusalem, we end in Jerusalem. So if you've ever asked the question, how did the gospel get to me? How did my Bible make it into my language? We follow that history and tell you how that happens. It's the only Bible study series in the world that does that in an exciting way, not in a boring way. It's a road trip Bible study. You follow along on that. And we do some amazing meetings and interviews and take you to the location where many of those stories happen on how the Bible got from Jerusalem to you. And that kind of spun off our Chasing Legacy series, which is a documentation of people that have gone before us, Christians that today you don't know the name of, you know none of their history, yet you stand on their shoulders. You have a Bible because of them. You have a church because of them. You have Christianity setting laws that you now live under because of them. Many of you listening to this could be living in an area that is the most free in the world because of those forefathers that went before you, which you know nothing about. When we want to learn about certain fathers like Martin Luther, John Calvin, there are so many books that we can get and we can read about. But there are individuals that are nameless, faceless, that we know nothing about, that we only learn through discovering letters, old forgotten books, documents that have been hiding in archives for generations. And what we do in Chasing Legacy is we go to these abandoned archives, these basements, these attics, these church filing cabinets, and we pull out old letters from 50, 100, 150, 200, 400 years ago. And we go through these documents, these archives, and we pull out stories of love, loss, challenge, determination, success, testimony. And we bring those individuals back to life again. We share what it is that they learned and what they did and how what they did changed our lives. Now, what I discovered on this Chasing Legacy treasure hunt in Vietnam blew my mind. Because I'm a historian, and I've been writing about Chinese church history for over 20 years. And I wrote a book called, what's the name of my book? One of the books that I wrote is called China and End Time Prophecy. And China and End Time Prophecy, in that book, I talk about the very first people that had the vision for back to Jerusalem, the very first one, 1921, with Pastor Jing and the Jesus family. And then in the 1940s with Pastor Mark Ma and the Back to Jerusalem Traveling Band. And then I go from the 1940s and how Mark Ma and Grace Ho, who I met with Grace Ho and did filming with her, how she had left out from trying to try to leave out together with Mark Ma and the Back to Jerusalem Traveling Band to go and take the gospel all the way back to Jerusalem. And when they did, they were stopped at the border of Xinjiang, and they were never allowed to leave Xinjiang. But that God had arranged another generation to take on after them. And so it went dormant, silent, quiet, with no missionary activity from 1949 until 2003. 2003 is the first Back to Jerusalem missionaries that I know of. And so we helped five Back to Jerusalem missionaries leave from China and go to Yemen. In 2001, we helped them study Arabic. And in 2003, they flew to Yemen, served in Yemen. All five of them are still serving in the Middle East today. That is what I call the very first Back to Jerusalem missionaries. I was wrong. This is why I love Chasing Legacy, because it allows us to dig through materials, archives, folders, books, magazine, love letters, family letters, and find stories that have been lost, find information that it was never known. And I stumbled across a story that I'd never heard about and did not know about. It was in Vietnam that there was a pastor, a missionary, that actually left out from China to preach the gospel. Let me read this for you. I found this in a 1960s magazine called Called to Vietnam. This was at the Christian Library in Ho Chi Minh. The Christian Library is more than a library with just books. They are a library that has information of, you know, what Vietnam had to go through during the communist era. They also have letters, magazines, notes, Bibles, things that Christians owned in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, when Christianity was kicked out of Vietnam and the nation was closed. Now they're more open than ever before. But as I'm going through this magazine from, you know, over 60 years ago, I come across this article. It's called Chinese Missions in Vietnam. Let me read it to you. On the outskirts of Kowloon in Saigon, there is a tract of land, about an acre and a half, known now as the Gospel Gardens. Its house is the residence for our traveling evangelist Jonathan Kahn, and its fish pond has already yielded a harvest of Philippine fish. We have all eaten them without any leprosy, TB, or other bad effects that the communist propaganda has spread about this recently introduced help to Vietnam. In the past year, we have obtained Christian literature from Hong Kong. Now we feel it is time to take another step of faith and action and establish a reading and book room in the Saigon Kowloon area. A primary school of about 100 students has been opened under the sponsorship of the larger Chinese church. The gospel truck continues to travel widely in evangelistic work with good results. There are three Sunday schools operating now, one at the big church under Dr. Leland Wong's organization, one at the Alliance Chapel, and a newly opened one at the chapel where Timothy Leung is pastor. Twice yearly, the children gather for Vacation Bible School with capable and spiritual teachers taking part in all of its activities. Three of our young people are attending the Alliance Bible Institute in Hong Kong, four more at Nyack, one at Houghton, one in Chicago, and several more have gone to Taiwan where they're active in SS and church work. In March, we held our third annual Chinese conference in Dalat. Ms. Lau graciously offered the use of her home free of charge to house our eight Chinese workers and their families as a place to hold our sessions. We are grateful to the Lord for the spirit and love and unity that was present and rejoice in the step forward that causes our Chinese work to be more indigenous and in a real sense of the word. Due to the fact that the Chinese in Phnom Penh are without a church building, the congregation meets in a Chinese school building under crowded conditions. Between 80 and 100 attend in Sunday service with perhaps as many children meeting in an adjoining room. It has been a year and 8 months since their original church building burned down while efforts have been made to purchase land on which to erect a building. There has been no success to date. We thank God for a church body which is comparatively strong and able to administer its own affairs in the city. While without a pastor, it has two able lady evangelists and an active church committee which govern able body and various ministries for the church. 11 were added to the church to be baptized last October, most of whom were young people. Each week, the young people conduct a systematic canvass of Chinese sections of the city and passing out literature and witnessing. this advertisement about Jonathan Cahn showed that there were missionaries that went to both Cambodia and Vietnam in the 1960s. During the time that China was completely locked down, Christians were being persecuted, sent into re-education camps, and executed, there were some Christians that were leaving as pastors, missionaries. I have another article that I'm writing right now. I don't have all of the details with me in front of me while I'm doing this, but let me just give you a little bit of an introduction to this pastor. He was a pastor in Guangdong province in the 1960s. Sorry, wrong. He was a Christian in China in the 1940s. Went to Bible school in the 1950s in Hong Kong. While in Hong Kong, and the communists took over, they closed off the border with Hong Kong where he was at Bible school, so he was not able to go back to China. But he had a vision that he believed that God called him to go preach the gospel. And he believed that God had him go to preach the gospel to the Muslims in Indonesia. But he wasn't able to go to Indonesia because there were so many refugees applying for refugee status from Hong Kong into Indonesia. And so those boats and those spots were taken. So he ended up going to Vietnam, planting a church and building an orphanage for over 100 orphans where he preached the gospel to street children. This pastor, before he became a believer, had grown up on the streets in China as an orphan. So God gave him a heart to minister to the orphans. While I was in Vietnam, I also met with a woman that was 103 years old. She was 103 years old. She came to Christ when she was 18 because an evangelist by the name of John Sung from China came and preached the gospel to her in southern Vietnam. She listened to his ministry and was called to the ministry at the age of 18, became a believer because John Sung came and preached the gospel. I learned about this because I was in Vietnam and I'm pulling out books that are both in Vietnamese and Chinese. One of the books was the hymn book that was given by John Sung in Chinese, translated into Vietnamese for the Vietnamese church to preach. This woman, who was 103 at the age of 18, already married, goes with her husband, leaving from John Sung's revival meetings in 1938, I believe, if I remember right, goes from southern Vietnam to the Mekong Delta area to the highlands for Bible school because God calls her and her husband to the minority groups. Her and her husband plant several churches among the minority groups until he dies and she's about 66 years old. She continues ministering until she's 74. She retires at the age of 74, goes to America, and retires. At the age of 84, 86, around her 80s, God calls her to leave her comfort in America and come back to the mission field. She goes to Malaysia and begins to plant churches at 84. She's 103 and still going strong. She flew in from America to Vietnam when I met with her. We were able to film together with her. 103, she's still traveling around. I was asking her questions, interviewing her. And we have that on video. We plan to share that on our Chasing Legacy series. My point is, those are just a couple of instances that I was not aware of missionaries who left from China to go and preach the gospel in other nations, specifically Vietnam and Cambodia. So if I'm just learning about those nations, what other nations have I not yet learned about? If it wasn't for the Christian Library of Ho Chi Minh, a group of believers who got together to find items from their Christian heritage, notes from missionaries, notebooks from missionaries, writings from missionaries, translations of Christian books that had been destroyed during the days of communism, letters, correspondence, postcards, songbooks, taken, compiled, saved, and documented. If it wasn't for the hardworking people at the Vietnam Christian library in Ho Chi Minh, I would have never found that. So I was excited to go through their archives and find information to learn that 2003 was not the first Back to Jerusalem missionaries to leave from China. I have documentation that they left already in the 1950s. Only a few years after God gave the Back to Jerusalem traveling ban a call to preach the gospel in closed countries. I love being proved wrong like that. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as much as it was to me. Continue praying for the Back to Jerusalem missionaries that leave out from China today and other countries. And thank you so much for downloading this Back to Jerusalem podcast. Again, I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the borders of Dubai. God bless.